This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Glory to God. Well, God is so good. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Galatians 3, 13 and 14. And the title of this sermon is we're in a series of callings. And, you know, some of the series titles, one is called to be a representative of God. We're called to represent heaven. We're called to represent the kingdom. Another one was we're called to walk in honor and integrity. Amen. And so we have, you know, the different parts of the series. And if you haven't caught all of them, try to go back and watch them. I think you're going to be blessed. And today, I was praying about today, what are we called to do? And we're called to prosper. You know, God wants you to prosper. You know, I know anybody ever watched Star Trek? Yeah. I'm talking about the original series. Yes. Amen. And my wife's always watching. She's a real sci-fi buff. And remember what in Star Trek, you know, it was the Vulcan Spock, right? And he would do this and he would say, live long and prosper. Yeah, that's TV, you know, but he was Jewish. I don't know if you knew that or not, but he was Jewish. Leonard, was it? Nimoy. And he was a very prosperous man, movie actor. And he made that up, live long and prosper, right? And I really believe he got that from the Bible. So when I'm up here as a minister talking about prosperity, the devil doesn't like it, and the world doesn't like it, and the world doesn't even think Christians should be prosperous, right? We should be poor and humble and broke, right? And the devil wants to show off his crowd, you know, Hollywood, and they have, you know, money and resources and all that, but their lives are pretty tattered and torn. If you look into their lives and their relationships and going through divorce after divorce after divorce. And are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? But God wants you to prosper. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants you to prosper. So God is all, he's about prospering us. And that was, you know, Jesus's first ministry when he preached. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news, to proclaim the gospel to the poor. So what does that mean? That you don't have to be poor anymore. In other words, you know, if you have God, God will help you. God can increase you. God can, you're not stuck where you're at. So you can move forward. You can increase in God. So I love this. And you got to think about this, that God is, he's not, you know, he's El Shaddai. The Bible said that's one of his names. You know, God has like different names in the Old Testament. There's Jehovah Rapha, you know, your God, your healer, and different names. And then there's Jehovah Jireh, and that's the God that provides, right? Jehovah Jireh. And there's another name for God is El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Now, you could be out here, you could say, Pastor, I understand that God's more than enough. How come I'm at barely enough? You know, how come I'm not really moved? How come I'm not seeing the blessing in my life? I'm just barely making it. Well, hopefully after this sermon, you're going to start moving into greater prosperity. Amen? So you got to get an understanding of who God is. And God works with principles. There's principles in the Bible and even in the book of Proverbs that will teach you how to prosper. So there's principles. The Bible says a slack hand will be put to forced labor, right? But the diligent will be made to rule, right? So if your diligence is a key to being prosperous, amen? Like, you know, the Bible talks about that when there's harvest, we need to go out and harvest it. We don't want it just to die in the vine. So God wants us, and there's principles that we have to work within. So it's more than just doing one thing. I'm a tither, I'm going to be blessed. Not necessarily. Yes, God will bless you and he will protect you. But that's there's more to it than just tithing. Now, are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Because I've tithed and I was broke. And I tithed and I'm prosperous. I've been in both camps. I've tithed where I was barely making it. And I've tithed, now I'm, thank God, I'm doing well. Hallelujah. Doing much better than I used to do.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'm growing.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm increasing.
Thank you.
Amen. So I'm probably at the best, not probably, I am at the best financial state of my life where I'm at. But I'm not stopping where I'm at.
That's right.
Amen. I want to keep moving forward.
Yes.
Amen. So we got to get a revelation of that God is El Shaddai and he wants to prosper you. In Galatians 3:13 and 14, let's look at this. It says here, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. Having become a curse for us, it is written, cursed everyone who hangs on the tree. See, I'm going to say this. The reason why I'm being a little tacked up here is because the devil hates me talking about money.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Because he doesn't want you having it, and he doesn't want you putting it into church, and he doesn't want the kingdom to move forward.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. The devil doesn't want you putting money in the church where we can take that money and expand the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. And so the devil is trying to keep the kingdom of God small.
Amen.
God's trying to grow the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And in the process, God wants to grow your kingdom. Can I say it again? God wants to grow your kingdom. Amen. And so here, he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, written curse to everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice it says might. We might not. We might. You might not. So you got to get a revelation that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. There's a message I preach that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. What does that mean, Pastor? What does that mean that I'm redeemed from the curse of the law? Well, it's actually, the curse is threefold, okay? Number one, the curse that came into this earth through mankind's sin, right, is death. So that's the number one curse, death, spiritual death for an unbeliever, amen? And so death is number one. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of death. We have eternal life.
Thank you, Lord.
Right? So we don't, when our bodies die, we don't die.
Amen.
We go to heaven.
Thank you.
Right? We just move out. Right? So we go to heaven. So we have eternal life. We'll be in the presence of God.
Yes.
Right? So we're redeemed from the curse of spiritual death, and that's really being eternally separated from God. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? People that don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, haven't put their faith and trust in Jesus, will still live, but they will live separated from God.
Yes.
In the other place. Right? So we don't want to be in that other place. We want to be in heaven. Amen. So it's all based on faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? It's receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Asking Jesus into your heart. So you go on Jesus' merit, not on your own. So it's not by works. Amen. But we're called to do good works.
Amen.
It's not by works, Pastor. Yeah, but we're called to do good works.
Amen.
That means we're called to do good things. We're called to help people,
right.
Bless people,
yeah.
Do good things.
Yeah.
But we don't do good things to get our salvation or to get a reward or of salvation for heaven. No, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Okay? So that gets us in heaven. But what gets us the rewards in heaven and the rewards down here is being obedient to Him,
Amen.
Is walking with God. That's where God can reward us down here and He can reward us up there, because the Bible talks about that if we follow God, that there's rewards for the believers and that there are rewards that He's going to give believers for following Him in heaven. And then the Bible talks about that there will be some that will lose rewards in heaven, right? So there's rewards that we can get in heaven and there's rewards that we can be blessed down here. Amen. I call it the double-fold blessing. So we see here that we're redeemed from death, but we're also redeemed from sickness, even though I'm being attacked by it. Amen? But we're not perfected in it. We're not perfected perfectly. We're growing in our faith, so sometimes we are under attack. Right? But you got to keep standing firm to move through these attacks. Amen. And so even though Jesus paid the price for my healing, I still have to believe that and walk in that and not focus on my sickness, but focus on Jesus' stripes. Amen. And we focus on that. And eventually, you're not going to be hearing me cough anymore. Amen. My dad was under a coughing spell on a trip, my mom. And he started saying, after each time he coughed, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. By Jesus, every time. And guess what? He stopped coughing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why? Because he's speaking the truth of God's word.
Yes.
By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Jesus received scourging on his body for our healing.
Yes.
Amen. And so we say, I believe that. But we have to receive it to ourselves. And also the Bible says that Jesus was made poor, that through his poverty, we may become rich. So Jesus, listen, some scholars would say, and even the Puritans taught, that if you're poor, you're pious and you're more holy. Being poor makes you more holy, right? I don't know. It might make you more grouchy. I don't know if it's going to make you more holy. It might make you more grouchy.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So the Puritans would say, well, if you're just barely enough, like some denominations, even priests would take a vow of poverty, you know, a vow of poverty, you know, to show how pious they are, that the world doesn't have anything on them, and they live very simple lives. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not against that. Amen? But I'm taking a vow of prosperity.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Why? Because I want to do a lot for God.
Amen.
Amen? So if I want to do a lot for God, like I'm already praying about the van that we're going to be getting pretty soon so we can start picking people up and bringing them to church. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to find somebody to drive that van. And we're going to bring the kids in here. And we're going to start bringing the kids in here and start teaching them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when the kids get one, then the parents will start coming in. Amen. And so we're going to have our own van very soon with Exceed Life Church serving the community. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And then, you know, with people, there's some people can't get out here because one family has one car and they work on Sunday. You got families. So we can make it happen. Say, we can make it happen. Amen. And I know some of you are saying, well, when God makes me a millionaire, I'll buy a van for the church. God blesses the little. Why don't you give $5 into it? You know what I'm saying? You know, well, when God blesses me abundantly above what I can, that's when I will give, you know. No. God blesses the little. That's a foundational truth, that God always blesses the little and move us into bigger.
Yes.
Right? So don't despise small beginnings.
Amen.
Take care of what you have.
That's right.
If you got a beat up car, clean it every once in a while. Change the oil.
Yeah.
Treat it nice.
Yeah.
Then maybe you'll have a nicer car.
Right.
But if you can't treat what you have nice, what you have, you may not get anything else.
Right.
Called the stewardship principle.
Right.
Amen. Stewardship means manager. In other words, God's calling us to manage. Amen. So Galatians 3:28. So the third key is not only healing, but the third is prosperity. Jesus became poor. So God wants us prosperous. And what does that mean to prosper? What does that mean to be prosperous? I believe it means that you're fruitful in the endeavor that you're working in, that God is blessing you in that area, and that you have more than enough, not just to meet your needs, but to meet needs of other people.
Amen.
In other words, you're bringing enough in where your needs are met and even your wants are taken care of.
Thank you.
Amen. Because God's not against your wants.
That's right.
Say, oh, Pastor, you better be very careful that we can be covetousness. We can start, you know, desiring our neighbor's house. No, you got to be careful on that. You don't want to, you know, covet your neighbor or his wife or anything like that. The Bible talks about that. But God, if you know somebody that has something nice, you can have something nice too.
Amen.
But what the enemy will do is try to make us jealous of what other people have.
That's right.
And if it's a wealthy Christian, they must have cheated their way into it. Or we get mad at wealthy people. Don't get mad at wealthy people. Because you might be a wealthy one someday.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So in Galatians 3:28, it says here, there's neither Jew nor Greek, Galatians 3:28 through 29. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. You are one in Christ Jesus. I love that because God is the God of equality. So you can say, I'm a woman. I can't get ahead. You can get ahead if you're a woman.
Amen.
Amen. Right? Don't, ladies, don't discount yourselves.
Amen.
Amen? And so here he's saying that God is saying that if we're all one in Christ, then that means that God is an equal opportunity God, that each one of us can prosper.
Mm-hmm.
Is that awesome? So don't just say, well, because of this, because I'm this or I'm that, I'm born from this particular race. No, that doesn't matter.
Amen.
No, are you in the race of God? Are you a new creation in Christ?
Amen.
So that's where you got to change your identity. See, your identity is not how you grew up, or your ethnic, your background. I can't even say the word. But it's you're in a new bloodline.
Yes.
When you get Jesus in your heart, you are in a new family.
Amen.
Amen? And so it says here in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. So he's saying that no matter where you're at, you can be blessed. And I love it where he says here in the second part, and if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Somebody say, I'm an heir.
I'm an heir.
So you're an heir according to the promise of God. So the Bible actually says that we're co-heirs or co-laborers with Christ. So we are in it together. In other words, we are in it together. We're working together. But you and God, you're working together.
Amen.
Amen? For a common goal. And that is really to increase and prosper so that we can build the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Amen. So you are in Christ and Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This one guy that was a minister in China back in the 1900s, he was a pastor. And he believed in the power of God, that God still does miracles, and his denomination didn't believe that. And he also believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that God still baptizes people, like it says in the book of Acts, and people can have spiritual giftings from God, and that people can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and they can speak in a supernatural language. He believed that. And he was teaching people on a side, you know, not really in church, because that denomination didn't believe that. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, listen, I want you to quit your church. Now, he's in China. He's part of a big organizational church, and they're paying his salary. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to quit. I want you to start a new church called like a full gospel church, like the whole gospel, not part gospel. And you can teach fully the full truth of the Word of God instead of part truth. And so he said, God, I'll starve. I mean, that the denomination is taking care of me. They're paying me so much money. If I try to start my own, and he said, don't take anybody from that existing church. Start a whole new work. And so, but God said, don't you know in my word that I'll make you rich? And he said, God, what do you mean you're going to make me rich? He said, have you ever read Galatians 3:13? And so the pastor opened the book, looked at Galatians 3:13, which we just read. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And God said, well, this means three areas I've redeemed you from. And one of them is poverty. And poverty is a curse.
Amen.
Don't tell me poverty is a blessing.
No, it's not.
Amen. No, you know, if you can't, you know, if you don't have enough money to eat, it's not a blessing. Poverty is a curse. Amen. And so we got to get a revelation of that. And he said, okay. And so he went ahead and started his church back. This is back in the 1900s. And I think the denomination was paying him. And back then, I guess, in $100 a month, $1,200 a year. So I guess that was good money back then in China in the 1900s. And so by the time that he started his church, and by the end of the year, he thought he was going to starve. But by the end of the year, his income tripled. Tripled in China. Amen. How did that happen? Because when he got the revelation that God wants him blessed, he started believing in prosperity that God really wants him blessed. And our belief system and what we believe about God will come out in the natural. In other words, Jesus would say to a lot of people, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. So you got to get a revelation that God wants you blessed, or you will never pray for the blessing. You'll never believe God for it. You just think that you just need to try to eke through life through your meager means, and hopefully God will help you, and he will. But you got to believe that God wants you blessed abundantly above more than you can ask or think.
Yes, amen.
According to the power that works who within who? You. So it's not that God wants you blessed abundantly above more than you can ask or think. It doesn't just stop there. Well, good, God. No, according to the power. What power? The word of God is power. Is the word of God working in you? Are you believing the word of God? Is it making a difference? Are you believing it? Are you operating in it? Amen? So let's go, let's look at this in the commission for mankind. It's in Genesis 1:28. And it says here, and this is when God created, and Genesis is an amazing book, and it will explain a lot of things about God. And in Genesis, God created man and woman. And let's look at Genesis 1:28. It says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So this is the commission that God gave Adam and Eve and God's given us. God is saying to us that he's saying, I'm blessing you today. He's saying for us to be fruitful. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to multiply. He wants us to fill the earth and subdue it. You may say, well, Pastor, you know, isn't he talking about, you know, getting married and having babies? Right? Well, it's more than just that. Because right now, as kingdom people, we fill the earth with souls coming into the kingdom. In other words, we win people into the kingdom of God. We're expanding the kingdom of God. God wants a full heaven. Do you believe that?
Yes.
God wants his heaven full of people.
Yes.
God doesn't want anybody going to hell.
Amen.
The Bible says that God doesn't want anybody. It's not God's will that anybody goes to hell. It's his will that everybody goes to heaven.
Amen.
So what is it about? The heartbeat of God is souls. I'm going to say it again. The heartbeat of God are souls, or people.
Yes.
People are the heartbeat of God. So God thinks about people. When he thinks harvest, he thinks people.
Amen.
So we got to be thinking people.
Yes.
People. You can't live with them. You can't live without them. People. Amen. In other words, some of them get on your nerves. People. But we still got to love people.
Amen.
The Bible says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love people. Amen. Say, I love people.
I love people.
Amen. And so we got to love people. Amen. And so he's calling us to multiply and be fruitful. And then Genesis 12, 1 and 3, then we see this, that we're redeemed from the curse so we can have the blessing of Abraham. I just read that in Genesis. So it goes back to what is Abraham's blessing. And his blessing is in Genesis 12, 1 and 3. So we got to find out what that blessing is. And it says here, now the Lord said to Abraham, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. Just underline that. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. So he says to Abraham, I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and I will bless you with those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and all the families on the earth shall be blessed. So we see here that we just read that Abraham's blessing is ours. So if Abraham's blessing's ours, then this that was spoken to Abraham thousands of years ago is being spoken to us today. Amen. So God, what God is saying is that He wants to bless us and make our name great, and He wants to use us so we can bless other people. Amen. Amen. And so we got to get a revelation of that God wants me in a position where I am so blessed, I can bless other people. Amen. That's where God wants us. Where we're not worried about, you know, where we can tip, you know, 40% tip at the table instead of 10% or 20%. Normal 20% is a tip. But God wants us being generous. Amen. Why? So we can reveal that God is not El Cheapo, but God is El Shaddai. Amen. And if we're prosperous people, we represent Him. That's right. And if we're El Cheapo, they think God's El Cheapo. That's right. All I know is that when we're going to heaven, we're not going with dirt roads, Amen. Concrete and brick. Man, it's gold. Yes. It's pearly gates. It's beautiful. In heaven, I'm telling you, it's magnificent. Streets of gold. Yes. The streets are made out of gold. Yes. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? They say it's transparent. Yes, but transparent. But it's gold. Bible says God made gold in Genesis. Read it. God made gold, and He said gold is good. Amen. So if you want to invest in something, might want to buy some gold. Amen. That's send you a bill for that. Amen. And amen. So we need to look at that. So in Genesis 12:1, we see that the blessing is to make your name great. Well, you're not trying to make your name great, but if you start out trying to make God's name great, you will be a person that will be known. Amen. See, Mother Teresa became known. She was trying to feed poor people. And so then everybody started asking Mother Teresa questions. How are you doing it? You're feeding these impoverished kids in Calcutta and the worst slums of the world. And you're feeding all these people. How are you doing? They started asking her questions. And she was just living for God. And guess what? God made a name for her. And she probably has a pretty good name in heaven as well. Amen. Oh, yeah. There's Mother Teresa. When we get to heaven, yeah, there's going to be some. Oh, there's Peter. There's yeah. There's Apostle John, yeah. And there's Mother Teresa. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And then your name may be called in heaven. Oh, that's this person that went to Sea Life Church and they laid down their life and they picked up their cross and they decided to tithe and give offerings and people got saved and delivered and set free. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Yeah. We got to get a revelation. It's not about us.
That's right. Amen.
In a sense, it is, but in a sense, it isn't. It's not about just me. Remember, I always say it's not about the false Trinity. You know, Trinity is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yeah. But the false Trinity is me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
Right? That's the false Trinity. That's just focused on ourselves. Right? So why do we prosper? Why does God want us to prosper? Why? Deuteronomy 8:18. And Deuteronomy 8:18 says it this way, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. So why would God make us wealthy to establish His covenant on this earth? In other words, it's all about the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Can I say that again? It's not about the world's ways. It's not about the world's kingdom. It's not about the kingdoms of this world. It's about the kingdom of God. And what does that mean, the kingdom of God? It means the way God rules and reigns. It's God rules and reigns through righteousness, holiness, amen, goodness and mercy. He reigns through these methods, amen. It's the way, it's how God does things. So what we're doing as Christians, we're expanding the kingdom of God. We're called to expand the kingdom of God. And so here, again, in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you power to get wealth." Why does he say remember? Because sometimes, and we've had this in our church, people come to church and they're doing okay, and then they start tithing and start prospering, and pretty soon their business becomes their God and they leave church. And now they're not even in church anymore, but the money's got them. In other words, now you know, their prosperity has them instead of them having prosperity. And this is what the Lord is saying. And that's what happened to the Israelites. They forgot their God, and that's why they would backslide. They forgot what God has done for them. In other words, don't take God for granted. And sometimes we take God for granted. Amen. Don't take the anointing God has placed on your life for granted. Right. Don't take what he has given you, your talents, for granted. Amen. Don't take it for granted. Amen. Amen? Because you'll lose if you take it for granted. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Yeah. We don't want to take for granted the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given us. Amen? And so we see here that we need to remember our God. So he's saying remember him. For he gives us the power to get wealth. So in other words, you can't do nothing without God's help. Amen. You got to get a revelation of that. Yes, you can do it, but God empowers you to do it. Amen. God gives you the brain. Yes. Hopefully a good memory too. Amen. Or get ginkgo biloba. Amen. But God gives you the ability to get wealth. He gives you, the Bible says that when you're walking with God, he'll give you witty ideas. He will open doors that no man can shut. He you know, somebody say, "Well, I want to prosper in God." Well, you know what's going to take? What's it going to take? Just tithing, right? No, opportunities are always disguised in, or blessings are always disguised in opportunities of work. Amen. Let me put it that way. Financial blessings are disguised in opportunities of work. What, Pastor? What do you mean? You mean I got to work? You mean I got to do something? You mean I got to be diligent? Listen, if you ever look at some of these people, was it Einstein? Was he the one? No, it was Edison. And Edison was the one that invented the light bulb, right? And Edison, right? And remember that it took him how many tries to make the bulb? 1,000. He fell 999 times, right? But he made the light. You know, he was a very successful person, right? But you know, he worked. In other words, he was diligent. Some of us thinks it's just going to come easy. No, you're going to have to work. There's opportunities that God will provide you, and you just need to work. I remember one of the biggest blessings I've ever received. Yin and I received was that we had an opportunity to help sell Yin's mom's house. And I've sold a house back in Oklahoma by owner. So I had some experience. And I bought my house, a HUD home that God opened the door for. And I bought another house from in Oklahoma when I was out there in Bible school. And so I understand what it is to buy. And I sold my house without a realtor. Can that be done? Oh, yeah. Can you sell your house without a realtor? Yeah. If God's with you, you can. Yeah. Don't you got to do it the traditional way? You don't have to. Right? What am I saying? I'm just saying that God can give you wisdom. Yeah. In all you're getting, get wisdom. Yeah. Get understanding. Yeah. And when you start getting understanding, then you can do some things. Amen. It's just not going to fall in your lap. So I said, we said to Yen's mom, we could sell your house, no problem. And then I look at Yen, how do we do it? Google it. Just Google it. Go to YouTube. You figure out how to sell a house. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You may not. Yeah, we can do it. Somebody gives you an opportunity. Can you do it? Yeah, sure. There's Google. Right? You can just Google it, right? And then Google will have all these information on how you sell a house by yourself, right? They'll even give you websites. You didn't figure out the websites and all that. And so we helped sell her house. And we sold this house without a realtor. We did it ourselves. And well, with God's help. And I did a little bit of work on the house. I did some rehab on it. Probably maybe 3 or 4 weekends. I did some, you know, manual labor. You mean you got to do manual labor, Pastor? I thought it was just going to just fall in my lap. Yeah, you might have to do a little work. And I hired somebody, and I probably paid them a few $100. And we didn't ask her mom for anything. And she ended up giving us $20,000 out of that sell that house. $20,000. You know how hard I worked? I probably put maybe 40 hours in it. Would you work 40 hours for $20,000? Moving some stuff around and listing a house and then doing a little contract through, you know, online contract and getting it all done. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Why? Well, that was an opportunity, a blessing, and that paid off. You say, well, wow, that's amazing. And see, God can do the same thing for you. He can open a door of opportunity, but you got to be ready. You got to be prepared. You got to be ready. You got to, you know, when the Lord got me my house, you know, the house that I'm in right now, I call it the miracle house. And I'm still in it today. He got me into a good neighborhood, low crime. I didn't know that at the time it was low crime. I didn't know it was a really good neighborhood. I didn't know the school system was really great. I was single. I didn't care about all that stuff. I just wanted a house. It could have been the highest crime because I'm single. I'm cool. I can pack it. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So I didn't know anything about that, but God knew that I would have a family. He knew that the family would be in the house. So I was like, okay, I'm in debt. How do I get out of it? I got to close this down. I'm closing this down. How do I get out of debt? How do I get in a position? Because I knew I needed to buy a house. If you're going to prosper in God, you need real estate. Amen. You need to buy a house. That's right. Don't be renting. Amen. Throwing it out the window. There's a time for that. Don't get me wrong. There's a season for renting. I rent it. There's a season, but don't stay in that season. That's right. Yeah. Go to the next level. Amen. Go to the next level. Sometimes people are paying more rent than they could in a house.
That's right.
The rent is nice. You don't have to cut the grass. Okay. It's all easy. Okay. They fix the stuff for you if it breaks down. You just make a call. Right? But you don't get any write-offs. You have no inheritance. Your house doesn't go up in value. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I bought my house. So I came and I bought and I called on a house. And you guys know the story. And this guy said, you got to look at this house. I said, I do. You really need to look at it. And this guy was a Christian showing this house that I'm in now. And it was at night. It was in October. It was late. He says, here's your flashlight. Can you imagine looking at it? Most people want to look at a house already decked out in the light with the lights on. What do you think of this house? All hardwood floors. I'm looking at it. Okay. It has a built-on addition to it. It looks okay. It doesn't look too bad. And he said, the bid starts tomorrow. You got to give me $1,000. Can you do it? And I said, well, thank God. God opened an opportunity for me to work a side business. And I painted curbs, numbers on curbs. And I got paid to do, but no, I put flyers out. Pastor, that's work. And I put flyers out. And me and my brother worked this this business of curb painting business. And we said, you got it, it'll make you safer because they can see your number at night. So if the ambulance comes, you get them to do it out of fear. Amen. That's how they all do it, right? You better do it or your house is going to be missed by the ambulance, right? And this is a good way for them to see you guys seen those flyers, right? So I worked that summer. Of course, I was single. with my brother and made thousands of dollars painting curbs. Well, that got me out of debt, put money in the bank, got me set up, amen, to get pre-approved for a loan, had money, had thousands in the bank. You mean you can be a Christian and have thousands in the bank? You should. Pastor, I'm just barely making it. Well, what am I doing wrong? Well, are you tithing and giving offerings? Oh, well, I'm trying to do the best I can, Pastor. You don't know my situation. Well, you know, I was in debt up to my eyeballs and still tithing. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Why? Because I wasn't going to rob from God.
Amen. That's right.
I was going to make sure God got his.
Yes.
Amen. So I made sure. So I gave 10%. I gave offerings all through the years of me in famine. You know, I lived in famine, not famine, just enough. I lived in the status of just enough. Anybody in just enough here? How many people want to be in more than enough?
Amen.
How many people want to be in the overflow?
Amen.
That's when you come in church and you're smiling. You know, you come in, you're happy. Money in the bank. Healthy. You know what I'm talking about? You give into the offering and you're proud of it. You give that offering into the bucket, you're proud of it. Glory to God. Why? Because God's prospering you. I was telling that across the street neighbor. I want to use him as an example because I need to use him. He's the sinner across the street. I'm talking to him about Christ. I was telling him how when you hook up with God, God will bless you. He said, "That you just lost me there. You're going to lose a lot of people telling me that God wants to prosper you." I said, I'm going to say this. The sinners and the devil hates prosperous Christians. And are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Because that's how the devil operates. He operates through the mode of money, and then he gets his nightclubs out there. Hello. Listen, the church should be the nicest place in the city.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying today? It shouldn't be the nightclubs. They got the new couches. You know, I remember when I was back in the day in the party scene, I used to party, go to the nightclubs. Oh, you need to go to that nightclub. It has new leather couches over there. It's really cool, you know. It's the new thing happening, you know. I can't wait until we say, well, the Exceed Life Church has leather couches. You got to get here. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So what am I saying to you today? I'm saying that God is not against prosperity.
Amen.
But he is against prosperity having us. In other words, he is against the idea of us putting our eyes on money. No, our eyes need to be on God. But when our eyes are on God, then our money is in the treasury of God. Where your heart is, so your treasure will be also. So where's your heart? I can tell you where your heart's at by looking at your checkbook. Oh, God. Pastor, you're really hitting us hard today. I'm closing down. And it says here in Matthew 6:31, this is... Because if you want to eliminate fear of money in your life, and if you want to eliminate greed, that means that you want more and more and more and no one else can have it, then you're going to need to learn to put God first. In Matthew 6:31-33, it says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?" So he's talking to his disciples, and he's talking to people. Don't worry. What do people worry about most of all, a lot of times, here on earth, is money. People worry about money. People always worry. They're measuring their whole life about money. If you had all the money that you needed and then some, you wouldn't worry about it. Right? But when you start giving into God's kingdom, that worry dissipates because you know you're hooked up with a higher power that's going to take care of you. You know you're not robbing from God. You know you're not under a curse, but under the blessing. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And then you have faith. You have greater faith to operate in the things of blessings in your life. So it says here, "For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, food, clothing, and shelter, will be added to you." So listen, some of us, you know, you got tithers that are just enough. You got tithers and givers that may be just enough. Tithers, and then you have the givers. So you have, and then you have the people that don't give at all, right? So you got like different classes of people. You got people that tithe, they give 10% of their income, plus they give offerings. Then you got the tither. I'm just going to just hit the tithe. That's it, not a penny more. Right? That's it. You get the decimal. That's it. God doesn't get a penny more. And then you have people say, well, they call it tithing, but they just give out of what they think that God, you know, would be okay with, and that you wouldn't be too much of a curse on your life. You know what I'm saying? And they're givers. And I love all of you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're a tither and giver, thank you. If you're a tither, thank you. And if you're a giver, thank you. Because the church needs it. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it. But if you want to change your destiny, you're going to have to move from just being a giver to being a tither and a giver. Amen. You're going to have to move out of that if you want to change your destiny. See, my destiny and my financial blessing is not tied in with how much the church pays me. I'm going to say it again. My destiny and the future of my family is not on the money that comes in through this church to give me a paycheck. Amen. I'm not worried about that. I used to think, God, I see these mega pastors and they're doing well and they're living in nicer homes than me. And I was watching this one pastor and he has a bigger church, maybe I don't know how many people, maybe over 1,000 people, and he was complaining and he had 1,000 people. God, when are you going to prosper me? And he was making probably pretty decent. And the Lord said, you know, you can do some things. You have abilities. And then he ended up buying houses and leasing out houses as a pastor. He was a business pastor. And God showed him that it's not just the finances from your job. God can prosper you in different areas. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And so as I thought about that, God blessed me and Yen through delivering groceries. You say, oh, pastor, that's kind of menial labor, delivering groceries. You're a pastor. You shouldn't be delivering. I'm a servant. I'm called to serve. I'm called to serve. And guess what? You're called to serve. So when I'm delivering a grocery to that little old lady that can't get out, I'm serving. I'm serving people. People. Loving people. So I'm serving, and sometimes it's not easy, and sometimes I have to go up 3 flights of stairs, and sometimes it's just, you know, I have Christina helping, amen, because I say, if you're going to live here, Christina, you're going to have to do some work around here. There's no free lunch at the Lambert House, so she's carrying groceries, and guess what? She gets rewarded. What does she get rewarded? Donuts. My daughter works for donuts. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You should. I remember I said, we're going out witnessing. She said, oh, we're going out witnessing. Yeah, we're knocking on doors. And we knocked on doors and give out flyers and invite people to church. And it's freezing cold outside. And we're out there and she's freezing. I said, but there's a donut at the end of it. We would go to the donut place at 3. She said, you know, it's supposed to be an hour, and I get gung-ho, and I'm there at 3 hours talking to people, praying for people. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? But we go to the donut store. It pays off. And anybody want to go witnessing with me? Donuts. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So what I'm saying, I'm saying that when we get involved with God and His kingdom, He's going to bless us tremendously. It says in Malachi 3:10, bring some of the tithes, all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. And you may say, I haven't hit that part. Well, it hit me when I got 20,000. It hit me when I bought my house in Oklahoma and I was able to sell it for more than what I paid for it and got so much money I was able to buy a BMW. And I was a youth minister. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? I got the house, you know, bid on the house because I was already prepared, got the house and paid $116,500 for it. It's worth almost $300,000 today. Can somebody say increase?
Increase.
Increase. Yes. Yes. Not because I'm that smart, but I am smart enough to follow God and obey Him. See, when you get smart enough to say, okay, God, I think you're smarter, that's when you start growing in Christ. When you get a revelation that God is smarter than you. When you get that revelation that God is smarter than you, that's when you're going to grow like amazing. That's when you're going to, God, you're smarter than me. And when you get that revelation and you start obeying Him, glory to God. Okay, I'm going to close this down. You know, man, because I could keep preaching this, but my last key is that the Bible talks about it's the willing and obedient that will eat the best, I like to say the lamb, but the best of the land. Amen? The best of the land. It's the willing and obedient eat the best of the land. Right? It says that in Isaiah 1:19. Right? If you're willing and obedient, you eat the best of the land. Brother Hagin was in ministry for many years, over 60 years, but it took him years to prosper. He had faith for healing, and he walked in healing, and he never got sick, but he had to grow in prosperity, and he wasn't prospering. He was a pastor, and then the Lord called him to an itinerant minister and said to him, and he's looking at his finances and his books. He said, Lord, I was more blessed as a pastor because people would bring me fried chicken. I would be blessed, you know, and all this as a pastor. But now I'm out here as itinerant minister. I'm ministering in different churches. That's, you go out, minister in different churches and build the congregations up. And he said, but my money's low. Why is that? And the Lord basically said, because your attitude stinks. He says, you got a bad attitude. The Lord said, you're not willing. You got a bad attitude while you're out here. You're not really serving me with a whole heart. You're serving me, but you're saying, okay, things aren't adding up. And your heart is not fully engaged in serving me. You're half-hearted. So what am I saying to you? See, if you're here today in this congregation and you're just half-hearted in your relationship with God, you're not full on with God, you're just half-hearted, and you serve God on your terms. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? It's on your terms. And if you're doing it on your terms, you're going to have partial blessing. But if you do it on His terms, you're going to have full blessing. So the Lord said, listen, if you get your heart right, I'm going to bless your socks off. And gave him a formula on how to prosper. He had to believe God, bind the devil, call it in. And from that point on, he prospered, prospered, prospered. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? From that point on. But it all came down to our attitude. How is our attitude in our giving? How is our attitude when we are you hear what I'm saying today? Coming to church. How is our attitude in reading our Bible? How is our attitude in praying? How is our attitude in praising and worshiping God? How is our attitude? Oh, I got to go to church today. Are they singing that same old song? My God, that's the 30th time this month. God, can't they change it up every once in a while? Oh, you hear what I'm saying to you today? Listen, why don't you worship God anyway? Amen. Thank God we got music. Oh, it's CD. Hey, we got the best bands in the world, man. You hear these bands are perfect. You ever had a regular band up here? They kind of miss it every once in a while. The bands we got are amazing bands. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? They're like perfect. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So what I'm saying? I'm saying that when we just make a little adjustment and then we get willing and then we get obedient, it's going to shift everything in our lives. Our entire lives will shift just a little bit of adjustment. And when you make that little bit of adjustment and you get willing and obedient, see, you got people that are obedient, but they have a bad attitude, so you don't see the full blessing. And you got people that have a decent attitude, but they never do anything for God. God's great, because you're not doing anything for Him. You're living for yourself. Yeah, God's great, because I don't do anything. I don't give it to the church. I don't help. I don't do anything. I don't go. I don't witness. God's blessing me. No, that's not a blessing. Blessings come when you're engaged in doing the kingdom business. Thank God. Some of us, you know, you can prosper. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm closing here. You can there is prosperity outside of God's kingdom. And you can do these things, but all of that prosperity is just temporary, worldly prosperity. And when you get to heaven, you may end up bankrupt because you lose all your rewards and you never built the kingdom. And then all of it was just for yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? But when you're down here and you're engaging in building the kingdom, not only will God put the blessing down here on your life, but when you get to heaven, you'll be super blessed too. Did you receive it today? I call it the double-fold blessing. And I'm telling you, I'm not just working just for a living. I'm working for a giving. And I'm not just satisfied with doing one water well a year. I want to do multiple water wells. I'm not satisfied with just doing a little for God. I mean, when my wife said, "Oh my God, the Wells Fund used to be 1,800. We could do a well for 1,800. Now it's 4,000. We might have to take 4 years to do it." I said, "No, we're going to do it this year."
Amen.
She said, "It's going to take 4 years. No, 2 years, I guess. 36. No, no, no. God's going to bring it in this year.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if the well went up 4,000. That's double, yeah? And God is the God of double.
Amen.
And God's going to double you.
Amen.
And God's going to increase you.
Amen.
And God's going to cause you to be such a blessing that you're going to have so much wealth, you're going to have to give it away.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? You're going to have to figure out ways to give your money away because you just have so much money. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Because it's not all about you. It's about the kingdom. It's about the harvest. Did you receive it today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you that you're preparing us for the harvest. You're preparing us for greater things. And I thank you, Father God. Oh, I believe that there's people here, if they just make those adjustments, if they just get their attitude right and they get obedient, that you will do amazing things in their lives. And perhaps you're here in the audience or you're watching online and you haven't fully given your life to Jesus. You're living your life on your terms and not on God's terms. You have not laid down your life. You're living for yourself, or mostly for yourself and a little bit for God. And today is a day for you to give it all, push all the chips in, take God, all of God, and give God all of you. So if that's you today, I want you to pray this out and mean in your heart, say, "Dear God, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were raised from the dead for my justification. Today, Jesus, I give you all of me, and I want all of you. So I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, empower me to prosper in this life. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.